Well, there we are. It's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning two people from the powerhouse center of Palmer, the library. Beth and Katie, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, what are we going to do today? I went to your website and I saw big words. The library is going to be closed on Memorial Day. So let's start with that. Okay. So you're not going to be open Memorial Day.
No, we will not. Okay. It's a federal holiday and it's a city observed holiday. So we will be closed.
Okay. Got that. So that's easy. Get that out of the way. However, you are open this summer doing a lot of different things because you've entered the zone of summer where schools have closed. And so let's hear an overview of all of that stuff. What's happening?
Sure. Well, school is on break, and so Palmer Library feels it's our place to step up and offer activities and programs for those who suddenly have more time on their hands. So we will be kicking off our summer reading program starting June 5th. And so it's all ages. Everyone's welcome. And we focus on lots of enrichment programming for school-age kids.
Okay. Just school-age kids. School-age kids, that starts at the age of 4 or 5? And runs on through, if you're, what's the oldest kid that can come to the library?
That's a great question. There is no age limit. So we go a little program heavy for those ages, but everyone's welcome, and we try to make sure to plan things for everybody of all interests. And so so there's no age limit. You can be 0 or 101, and everyone's welcome, and everyone should be able to find something that they're interested in and enjoy doing.
Okay, and your hours, do they change at all for the summer?
They're the exact same.
Exact same. And yes. Remind the listeners when those hours are and days that you are open.
Monday and Wednesday, 10 to 8 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 10 to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Friday, 10 to 2 p.m.
Ah, okay. So 10 o'clock is a kind of a magic start number.
That is a magic start number, and you'll see people standing in front of our library right before 10 o'clock waiting for those doors to be unlocked.
I have noticed that. So that's kind of a nice feeling to have people wanting to get in and having all that happen. I know that the library has many rooms, and there are rooms inside, and there's a community room as well, and that tends to get used, and that could be used at times outside of the normal library operating hours. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Nonprofits can rent it for meetings or other reasons, so they can be there when we're not opened. And speaking of the meeting room, we just had it recarpeted. It was just completed yesterday,
so wow. It
smells like brand new, and it looks so much nicer and more welcoming. So we're excited about that. But yes, people can rent the meeting room for nonprofits. It's $100, and you can use it one time a month for the whole year. So it's a pretty good deal.
Oh, is it pretty well used in terms of people making it? Important that you, if you want to use it at a certain time, you should check with you.
You better plan ahead.
Yeah,
because we still have to do our programs in there. That is where we hold our programs. So library programs come first, and then other times when it's open, it's available to be used. And a lot of that is used at, from 6 to 10 for homeowners associations rented or different nonprofits rent it to meet once a month.
Okay. I noticed also that I noticed yesterday because I was driving more than I usually do. I went up to Glacier View and as I was driving along, I was reminded that there are different kinds of vehicles on the road at different times of year. I noticed literally dozens of vehicles with trailers or RVs, and that reminded me that a lot of people come into Alaska not only on cruise ships, but they come, they rent vehicles, they drive all the way up from someplace and are here, and they come into Palmer and park in the parking lot there, and I'm guessing come into the library. did describe, but what's your overall sense of the population change in the summer, particularly thinking about people from outside? What's that look like? What are they interested in?
We do get a lot of visitors from the outside. And when we say outside, that also includes Europe. We have a lot of European visitors who, when they're traveling, they stop through to see our visitor center and to use our computers. We have computers that are available for just 15 minutes so they can run in. We have them available for an hour also, but it makes it easy for them to just run in and catch up or print out a ticket, whatever they need to do. So they do run in to just use our facilities and to buy T-shirts because they want something that represents Palmer because it's so beautiful, or our new tote bags that we just got in. So it does increase. We do get a lot more outside visitors that are coming through either on the bus tours or just driving through.
Mm-hmm.
So it does increase.
And that parking lot is strategically located because it's right there, not only next to the library, but also to the Palmer Museum. And also, for example, today is Friday. The Friday Fling has begun. So there's a lot of activity down there. How exclusive is your parking lot? Do you have any requirements about it, or can it be a first-come, first-serve type of place?
It's considered a city parking lot, so it's for all city people.
Okay.
Not, you know, anybody comes to visit the city, that's their parking lot. So there is no restrictions. However, we'd like it to have restrictions because our library patrons do get a little testy on Friday Fling days when there's no places to park, but it is a first come, first serve. And there just isn't, you know, it wouldn't be friendly for us to have people out there checking to see if you have a library card, to see if you could park in the parking lot. So
you can get a sticker, library parking.
Sticker. I don't want to be that person out there.
You don't want to be that person checking that out. Well, since we're out in the parking lot, many people know that there's a magic container, steel box that sits out beside there, and people pull up all the time and they throw things in there.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And then I see every so often someone dragging a large piece of luggage out there, and I'm wondering, is this some kind of time travel machine, or what's this all about?
That was a service we were really happy to provide our patrons a couple years back. It just needed to be done. So you're right. We've got a book return and an audiovisual return right on the curbside out front of the library. And it's there for the convenience of the community if you're just simply looking to drop your things and go. And we also found several children are delighted to drop all sorts of things in there. So it's a big treat for the kids to return their materials as well.
And they like to, you know, they'll ask when you're out there getting, we call it the drop, emptying the drop. They'll ask if they could watch to see what it looks like inside, because they think it's some sort of magical place where they put their books in and something happens. And to them, it's very magical. And I think it's what's kind of funny is you don't realize that during the regular time of year that people actually are driving on the actual sidewalk to get closer. But in the winter, when there's snow, you can definitely see tire tracks going up closer because they don't want to get out. So it's kind of funny. We couldn't place it next to any closer to the curb because of requirements for the sidewalk, but
sure,
we could get it as close as we could.
So here's an idea. What if it were slightly modified to look like a phone booth? A certain Doctor Who's TARDIS. Now there, I that might become an object of a lot of attention and photographs, etc., to be actually photographed next to that magical phone booth. Just thinking,
right,
as you're going along. Especially if you were in any way thinking of enlarging the box in some way, and et cetera, et cetera.
We have great ideas. We would love it to be covered so that when we're unloading it, that the items don't get assaulted by the rain or the snow, and then have maybe benches around that covering so that people could sit there and read, just extra places for people to sit out in the beautiful sun and observe. But that's never really come to fruition. We've had a lot of scout masters who wanted a project, but whenever we told them that's what we'd want, they weren't real enthused. So
It just takes one. So
right.
We're tossing that idea out. So if there's a listener out there who's thinking, like to have a project of some sort and do something, that would be kind of nice. Now, what I have noticed since I walk through that parking lot and by the grass is someone has been putting, spray painting all kinds of marks on the grass in front of the library. What is that all going to be about? What's going to happen there?
I know, it's magical. We are, the friends of the library are going to put in actual posts so we can hang our banners up. Right now, there's metal posts that don't really fit that well. They move and get taken. So one of our friends is going to put those posts in. So it'll be pretty much where the Friday Fling banner goes or other banners in that area. Right. So it'll be for the library, and it'll be permanent. And we didn't want them digging into very high voltage lines or gas lines or whatever that could possibly be there. So those magical spray paints tell them that there isn't anything dangerous there, so they can be free to dig.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good. That's good to know. That'll be interesting. Be interesting to have because I've noticed a sign that occasionally, and then it becomes a subject to the whimsy of the winds blowing and all the rest of that. Okay. All right. So, Katie, you have been silent over there as we've talked about this stuff.
Yes, yes.
How about talking about a little more in-depth some of the program elements or the things that you're going to be involved with?
Sure. So summertime is coming quickly. And so, as I mentioned, when we know everyone's got, or mostly kids have more time on their hands, we prefer to step up and offer some things to do. And so we've been working over the last few months putting a summer lineup together for the community. And if anyone's wondering why they should participate or come down to the library, I guess the most simple reason is it's a really easy way to support your library. We operate heavily on statistics, so every head that comes through the door really matters to us. It counts, and we can turn around and then appeal for more financial support that way. So at the very least, by just showing up and coming to a program or dropping your name in a hat for summer reading program, it's a very small way to support your library and ensure that their interests then turn into support for the library and finances that come in. For kids, there's just free stuff going on. It's really cool. We work really hard to put together appealing programs and activities for them to do. So for any kids in the community that are on break this summer, there's free stuff going on. You can kind of choose how involved you are, but nonetheless, we give prizes and hold drawings all summer long to reward those kids who come on in. And so we run through July. We get all sorts of donations and get all sorts of support from the community all year round, basically just to invite people in, to reward them for coming, and to celebrate literacy and reading and just that we have a library at all. It means a lot to us that we have one in our community, that folks show up and support it. And so we'd like to give back in a way as well and put these programs on and reward everyone for coming in.
Okay. So I understand, I've heard people, students talk about the reading program of coming in and reading in the summer and being encouraged to continue to do that. That sounds like that's a very positive approach, I think. I know that in the big world of choice that everyone has, there are lots of different things that people can do. They can use one or another of the forms of communication, everything from a computer on. You two have been in this business for some time. What's your observation about year-to-year change or directions in terms of reading habits or the reading population? What do you notice? Are people reading different things than they were a few years ago, or what's happening there?
I don't think so. It seems, fads come and go, and so definitely there's a higher increase for the ebooks and being able to download various materials. But I think the cores are still there, where people still really just enjoy however they get their entertainment, to be able to come in and find it at the library. And I think if the summer holds true, our library does a great job. Most of our patrons, the adults who come in, there's a high interest in mystery reading and do-it-yourself. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of adults will come in for nonfiction materials on building a chicken coop or how to garden in the Arctic and things like that.
Right.
And that's held true, I would say, over the years. Just the format people receive that might be a little different, whether it's electronic or a paper print sort of materials.
Okay. I know there's been some discussion recently about a kind of a genre called young adult, and the transition where there are a number of adult authors who have been writing young adult books, which are now being read by both young adults and adults. So there's been a kind of an interesting development there.
That I am a young adult book reader. I love those books myself. This section of our library has grown tremendously. I believe, you know, I've looked into it. Why do people like young adults? Young adult books, of course, the teens, it's their age group and their issues. But for adults reading young adults, I think it's because, yes, it might have something going on that's heavy in the book, but it turns out good. So you're not left with everybody in the village getting killed and everybody's gone, or the world blowing up and there's no hope. I guess in the books, even though there could be times when there's no hope, or it's hard to live through those times, it gives you hope at the end, and it's closure. And it just doesn't, I guess they just don't go off in the deep valleys that some of the adult books do. For myself, I can watch, TV can be on, I can be listening to music, and I can still read. Some of the adult books, you really have to focus on what you're reading to keep up with what's going on. So it's more of a fun type material.
Okay. Okay. Katie, any observations you want to add?
I think Y has been great. The younger kids seem to enjoy reading up and being able to, I guess, have access to those stories and the characters.
Right.
And feel very mature. But the writing isn't compromised. The characters are still very strong. The plots are still very strong. And I think really, like Beth was saying, it doesn't delve really heavy into some of the topics. And then some of the language and some of the behavior is kept a little cleaner. And so it is nice to read knowing that perhaps you won't stumble into some ugly sorts of content in the books. And like you're saying, they're really nice for just being able to pick up and put down. So if you're interrupted a lot, you've got other things going on, you can still pick up with your story without having to backtrack a couple chapters and figure out where you left off or what's going on or missing any important little details. And so that's been fantastic. I love the authors don't try to water their materials down or talk down. It's just simply just moving on, keep it a little more brief, and keep it moving.
Okay.
They hit heavy topics, you know. There's a lot of teens dying of cancer or just, you know, traumatic events, but it gives them a way to go through those situations without actually going through them or just understanding what happens.
Okay. And since we were talking a little bit about authors, do you have any programs that bring writers or authors into the library?
We just did. The library hosted Gail Carriger, who is a very successful steampunk author.
Oh, okay.
And so she was up just sharing how she became as successful within that genre as she has. And so as we're able to, we certainly do. We get also a lot of interest from local authors or Alaska authors who wish to promote their materials. And so we try to keep a good eye on the bookstore, too, of what they got going on, so we can either support and send interested people their way, or make sure to have, if they've got a featured author here, to have their materials available at our library as well and work together to promote local and Alaska authors.
And we don't want to step on anyone's toes. So Fireside does a great job bringing in authors, so we support their mission, but we don't want to take up, you know, we don't want to be the person or the place where new authors come or authors come when we have a great system now where Fireside does a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we work together.
And speaking of Alaskana, you have a Alaska room, don't you, over there?
We do. The Alaska room is cool. I don't know if everyone knows about it, but it is one room in the library strictly dedicated to Alaska authors and nonfictional materials about Alaska. It's not just books in there. There's videos in there, all sorts of maps and atlases. And there, it's a very quiet room. So as far as just being able to get some work done, it's great to stop in there. There's some really cool artwork that gets circulated through there, all by Alaskan artists. And it's one place we love to highlight when tourists come in. They usually just want a taste or a feel of Alaska, and it's great to show them through there. The local trappers group will keep a display of furs in there, and you're encouraged to touch them and check them out. There's all sorts of skulls of Alaskan mammals and things. And so I just like it. It's you're able to be in there touching things, and there's a wealth of information in there.
And we partner with the museum, the Palmer Museum.
Right.
They bring in artwork and they switch it out. So it gives them a venue to offer another place where items can be seen and shown. So we partner with them to have more artwork available.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here with Inside the City, and we've been talking with Beth and Katie from the library. In the last minute we have we missed anything? What do you want to leave listeners and potential readers with?
Well, first of all, to stop down and see us. We'd love to see everybody. And if you are curious about anything we might have going on at the library, please visit us online at pplak.org.
Okay.
And on a side note, the awaited self-checkout station is up and running, and we're starting to see patrons actually using it. It was very well anticipated, so I'm hoping it's going to be another item that people can get in and check out and go if they want to quickly.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming in and talking so enthusiastically about the library.
Thank you.
Thank you.